I'd rather, I would honestly rather get kicked in the midsection than do 200 sit-ups a day.
That's an ab workout, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just kick me. That's more sports specific, right? What's up, everybody, and thank you for supporting the Pohada Podcast. This is a show where we talk about jiu-jitsu with jiu-jitsu people, very often black belts. This time around, however, I'm talking with a couple of local Muay Thai fighters, a married couple who are technically new to combat sports, but also already quite experienced. Sometimes you find yourself done with school-based athletics, and you're looking for a workout, and you find violence. Before we jump into this episode, it is brought to you by Way of the Tiger Soap Company, a small local business created by one of us. If you train jiu-jitsu, you need good soap, and this is it. The show is also brought to you by Hamel Jiu-Jitsu Club, one of my home gyms here in Hamel, Minnesota, just off of Highway 55. Everyone is welcome. And without further ado, my conversation with Teresa and Gabe. All right. State your names.
I'm Teresa Branco.
Gabe Branco.
What do you guys do?
So we both do Muay Thai kickboxing at Striking Institute. We have been fighting for... So we started almost 4 years ago in July. So we've been fighting for a few years now. And during the day, we work from home, watch dogs, and it's pretty cool.
Did you say 4 years ago?
Yeah, so it'll be 4 years in July I started.
In 2020?
Yeah, yeah.
Why start then? Just boredom, or is that just when you were kind of getting into things?
So, like, the fall before that, I had actually, like, I was, like, 24 at the time. So I was kind of getting to the point where, like, I didn't really have, like, a hobby after, like, I, like, had a job, had gotten out of college. I'm like, what do I do now? We got a dog, you know, things like that. So
you're doing the regular life and you're realizing, wait a minute, I used to do stuff.
100%. I was like, oh my gosh, I need like more to do. And so I was like going through some different gyms. I had done like a kettlebell gym I went to for a long time. And then...
Which one?
It's called Urban Iron in Woodbury.
Okay.
There's a great lady there that owns that gym. It's pretty much exclusively kettlebells. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed like the technique of just like swinging kettlebells around.
Kettlebells is his own weird little cult within like the meathead community. It seems that way. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So from there, I ended up joining like a fitness kickboxing gym, one of the Ferrells in St. Paul. And like the first day I went, I was like, I love this. I was like, I want to compete in this. And like that was crazy to me. Like I didn't think I would like compete in anything as an adult. But as soon as I kicked something, I was like, I want to kick people. Like the first day. So this is like a fitness kickboxing gym. I was like, I'm going to do the thing. Like they had like a 16-week like challenge to lose weight pretty much. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a ton of weight to lose, but I was like, I'm going to finish this out. I'm going to try to get like as strong as I can. And and that whole time I was looking at gyms. Pretty much.
Yeah, where's my next step to
yeah.
You had, so that was so you like, had violence in your heart and you didn't realize it.
I think I knew it was there, but that like sealed the deal.
She's always had violence in her heart. She was the scrappy one.
There's the fact checker off to the right there.
My mom always says that basketball, the first fun fact, the first basketball game I played in fifth grade, I kicked a girl like in the shin.
So it took.
I got stressed out and I kicked her.
12, 15 years or whatever.
Isn't that crazy?
Came full circle and
yeah. Like a prodigy, right? Like
right. It was there even if you hadn't harnessed it. Good.
But yeah, as an adult, that was cool to see that like competitive side come out, and I was just like dead set after that. I was like, I'm gonna find a gym. Like I was like, I need to find one close to home, just so like I'll get there. Like my routine will work out well. Striking suit was the closest, honestly.
Nice.
I saw like Caitlin Young was like owned it. I was like, oh, a woman owns it. Like, I know nothing about the culture. I don't know what I'm walking into. It might be like crazy. Like, I have no idea what I'm walking into.
Could be the best gym in the cities, could be the worst gym, but that's the one that's close. So let's go.
Yep. And the first day I walked in, it was Ryan Murray there doing like my intro. So we like went over some things. And the first day he was like, kick me in the leg. I was like, no, oh my gosh, why would I do that? And like looking back, it's like, I could not have hurt him. Like, yeah. There's a 0% chance I could have hurt him by kicking his leg. He's like, do it harder. And I'm like, oh, oh my gosh, no. But
I'm surprised he let you land it. I was going to say, yeah, you're not going to land checks one it the anyway.
First, the intro class checks just the first kick. See? That would be so messed up.
It's sort of the superpower of it, though, isn't it? Like, whatever you're throwing at me, I can get out of the way or I can check it. You know?
Yeah, but he was like, no, just kick me. And that's part of the power of, like, an intro class is, like, they just have you hit something hard. And you're like, oh, this is so fun. Like, love hitting things hard.
He's the perfect candidate, I think, for a first timer. 100%. Just that weird humor under the...
He made it super approachable. Because like I said, I didn't know who I was what I was walking into, who I was going to deal with. It was super stressful, like, walking in there for the first time. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. I just know I want to be here. Like,
it's the same thing at any gym.
Yeah.
You know, most sort of normal people, for lack of a better way of saying it, you walk in and you're just like, all these things and all these people, oh my god,
so overwhelming.
So yeah, if it's a violence centered gym, that's even trickier.
So I started and I told Gabe, because Gabe had never wanted to come to any other gyms with me. He didn't want to come to the kettlebell gym. He was like, definitely don't want to go to the fitness kickboxing gym. And so I was like, hey, you should come, like, this guy Ryan, like, he's super cool, I know you'd like him, like, it's super approachable. And, like, right away, he was like, yeah, I'll go. I was shocked. I was like, oh, awesome. Let's do it. So then he started shortly after I did.
They found out first hit's free, so why not, right?
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
He's not going to check your kick.
My intro was the same. Ryan was just, like, goofy, and I wore a hat. I wore a hat to my intro, and Ryan was like, nah, man, you look real cool, like, wearing your hat, like, doing Muay Thai. Like, he's just...
He buttered him up right away. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Any of that intro stuff for fitness and everything is such a game. Because, like, you want to be there, but everybody's on the cusp of just turning around, never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So
if you can play that game well from the coach perspective, it's a
good thing. That's very true. First impressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, I think I did my first class, like, actual class, and there was maybe, like, four of us in there because they were new. And I just remember not knowing how to breathe. Like, while we were hitting stuff, and I felt like I was gonna pass out, like, from no oxygen.
Right, you never had to think about it. You breathe all the time.
Yeah.
When's the last time you thought about breathing?
Especially when you're trying to
Now you do.
Yeah. Like, you know? Do something hard. Like, I was like trying to blast pads and just not breathing in between, during, after it.
Just tension.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall images of you first hitting pads and stuff. Very tense. I mean, we all are when we first start, but, like, his hips were so inflexible. Like, he has some injuries from the past, and his hips just, he couldn't kick higher than, like, your leg almost. Mm-hmm. And that's improved so much.
And it was actual physical limitations?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a weird thing. Like, put your foot way up here. Okay, hold on, what? But if you have actual physical limitations, it's different.
Yeah, I've tore my hip. My ACL and, like, all my left leg, so all of that's, like, it was, like, kind of locked down.
Right. Things get torn, then they heal. They don't exactly heal flexible.
They didn't heal back very well. But we started, and then shortly after, Teresa started going to Loris because she was having, and Loris is, like, a fitness rehab place in Roseville, and she's having, like, shoulder problems. And they helped her get back, and she's like, you should also go, like, try Loris. And they really helped me, like, get more flexible. And then also just doing Muay Thai, like, over time. Like, the repetitiveness of it just, like, loosens things up. And quality of life has improved a lot. Like, I couldn't run a whole lot before because my knees were so bad.
We feel so good now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how bad I felt, like, to be honest. Yeah.
Getting beat up to feel good day to day.
I was going to say, this is the perfect, like, sales pitch for Muay Thai training. Like, it looks violent and you're going to take a beating, but you're going to feel good.
If you take care of yourself and you have the strength training behind it, like, yeah, like, I never thought, all the things I'm doing now, I never thought I would do, like, running for Muay Thai. Like, I didn't like to run. Now I'm doing it so I can do Muay Thai, things like that. Like, I'm not huge on weightlifting, but, like, I want to be strong. I want to win.
Yeah.
Honestly,
you're practicing force production every day at the gym and you realize, oh, okay, yeah, strength is a thing.
You have to have it.
What were the injuries from? Is that previous sports stuff?
Yeah, football. I played football since I was, like, 5. So I just overuse, probably. Like, a lot of it happened when I was, like, 13 or 14. And it just, yeah, it was like right before high school, in high school. I did like track in college at North Dakota State, and I got big. I was a big boy. I threw shot put and discus there.
He was a big
boy. I was a big boy.
What was your top weight? Just
like, yeah. I got there like when I graduated high school, I was like maybe 200, maybe like with after eating a lot. And then I got there at 220 that he had me put weight on. And then after my freshman year into like when I showed up my sophomore year, I was 265.
Atta baby. How tall are you?
Like 6 foot.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my knees were screaming.
Yeah.
Every day. But we were doing, this is a great program. We had like the best throws program in the country for 4 or 5 years. It was like NCAA champions, Olympian, like was produced out of that, like in my time there. So
what was your best throws? Yeah. I was a thrower too. So I'm
kind of, oh, really?
Now,
yeah.
Now I'm nerding out.
Okay. Yeah. So in college, I think my best was 52, a little over 52 feet with the college.
Nice.
Yeah. It was.
Thank you for doing feet and not meters, for God's sake.
Yeah. I really wanted to hit 20 meters, but it just wasn't going to materialize. Like the injuries were adding up, and I stopped after my sophomore year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer, man.
I know.
That's right when you're finally used to that heavier rock and stuff, right? And
oh, yeah.
Starting to come together at that level. Did you throw disc in college too?
Yeah, I threw my freshman year disc, and then I switched more to hammer after that.
Yes.
Yeah. Little
the
heel
magic
turn.
Magic of athletics.
Yeah, so I competed until I was, what, like 21-ish, and then dropped off. Really liked to drink.
College was something.
Had a baby.
I kind of
cut off the throws around that same age, but I went into strongman training.
Oh, okay.
Probably would have turned to drink if I hadn't. Yeah, who knows?
But. Just a different kind of abuse.
Right. Yeah. 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 That's exactly it.
Yeah. And then, after that, I decided to go to law school. I'm like a lawyer by day, you know, Muay Thai ass kicker by night.
Yeah. Right? So you both went up. You're both bison.
Mm-hmm. They're bison. The bison. It's the bison.
That's how I say it, and I get yelled at. Yeah. So I was testing the waters.
Yeah,
there.
If you're from North Dakota, you say bison. Right.
We'll just politely ask you to leave our house.
Pack up your stuff.
See you next time. Yeah. So nothing since then for either of you? Like sports or I guess injuries too. Like we were years removed from athletics when we started Muay Thai.
So I played like volleyball, basketball, ran track in school, in high school. But then I played 2 years of JUCO volleyball at North Dakota State College of Science in Wahpeton, North Dakota. So I played Wahpeton, yeah. I grew up just a half hour south of there. But my shoulder was wrecked the whole time I was playing volleyball. Like the whole time. I never figured it out. My shoulder hurt all of the time. Like it's really hard on your shoulders. And when you're a weak, like 19-year-old girl, like... Yeah. You just don't have the, and I like to hit things hard. People know this about me.
Yeah.
I wanted to hit that ball really hard, and I just didn't have the strength and the stability in my shoulders for them to be healthy at all. And it carried on into my kettlebell training. It never got better. Never. And as soon as I went, I needed to find like a workout that wasn't going to hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
And punching things, it turns out punching things makes it feel better. It stretches it out. Now I'm stronger, so I don't really have to worry about it, but it was horrible.
It's kind of a weird thing about our sports system. Like you get on the whatever level football team and the whatever level whatever team, and you're just a part of it, and now you go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fall again, so we go do that thing again. And there's all kinds of systemic thoughts towards like the development of your sports skills, but not of you.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, still, like with all these strength and conditioning facilities and all these coaches and stuff, like most people's sports stories are still like, yeah, I did this for 10 years and that for 5 years, and this stuff hurt the whole fucking time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is that the best we can do? You know, and it's not till you're 30 and you go to some weird specialized gym with two or three people with interesting ideas where they fix it.
Because people
what
are
a
like,
shame.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you're athletic now, you're young now, you need to work at this.
Yeah,
like,
let's beat you up. Let's get as far as we can.
That's what they did to Gabe. Like, he tore his ACL at 14, 15.
Yeah, 15.
Like, what were you doing?
A lot. He's doing a lot.
Doing the most.
Doing a ton, yeah.
So you both competed in Muay Thai a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yes. So I have 21 fights now.
In 4 years?
I've been like three. You started competing like a little after. About three years.
3 years ago, March was our first fight. We both had the first fight on the same day.
That's cute.
It is cute, isn't it?
Which one? Where was that?
So I'm calling it a fight. We call it a fight because it was technically a smoker event.
Whatever. Somebody's trying to punch you.
In Des Moines. But there were knockouts at this smoker event. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was a fight card. So that was in Des Moines that we had our first fights. Gabe like broke the guy's nose. Like it was not a smoker is the moral of the story. And we didn't know what a smoker was before we went to it.
I'm still not sure what a smoker is, honestly. So that was our first experience.
It's a scrimmage. You don't hit people hard. You need to like keep your things under control. Right. I did not either.
It's like we're the purest form of practicing fighting.
Yes.
Is what the smoker is. We're fighting minus the fighting.
Just a little experience and like under pressure is essentially what it is.
Just like a little step up from sparring. Yeah. A little bit.
So that was our first fight. That was in Des Moines at a gym. And how many fights do you have now?
9. I don't compete nearly. I don't do it nearly as much as you do.
9 is a lot in like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
It's cruising.
What'd you say? 20?
21.
That's insane.
It's because of tournaments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tournament style Muay Thai, huh?
For the most part. Yeah, I would say so. So this last, a week ago, I was at a tournament at the Arnold Classics.
Fucking sweet.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was a cool environment to be in Columbus.
Gigantic, huh?
It was huge.
Just like 500,000 people walking around. I'm full-blown meathead, so I'm familiar with the Arnold since it was just bodybuilding.
Wow.
Right? And it's grown, obviously, into that gigantic, ridiculous expo.
I didn't even know where all it was. There was so much stuff and people going on.
Arm wrestling and all kinds of...
Yeah, pillow fighting.
Everything you can come up with.
Muay Thai. There was Muay Thai this year. So I found a tournament. I had two fights last Saturday. Won the first one, second round, TKO. And then the last one was a 5-round title fight, with like no shin guards on, no headgear. This was usually tournaments are padded up. Like you have headgear on. This was a 5-round title fight against a pro MMA fighter.
Why ditch the gear? I mean, is that difference between pro and AM or what? My shins
hurt
as you tell
me this. So the
reason
is because this is a defendable title. So this is like the TBA. SA like title fight. So this is one of the only tournament I've ever heard of that has a defendable title, because you'll go to tournaments and get like a belt for winning your division, but it's not like something you can go defend on a show somewhere.
It's like a first place trophy basically.
So this was like the North American like title,
so that person was what we were fighting then for. Gonna like travel around and have people chase him down and try to take that title.
Yeah, they could do that. But yeah, so it was a good fight. I lost by decision, but it was a tough fight. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I have the experience.
Kai, how's that? You said the environment. How's that crowd? Like, are you in front of a big old group of people for this?
So the Muay Thai, it was nice. It was separated from all the other events. So there's like a corridor with all the ballrooms. But the Muay Thai was like up an escalator in like its own place.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Like it was only Muay Thai people up there. If we had been in one of those rooms down in the corridor, it would have been a nightmare. It would have been it was so busy. There's so many people.
Just like even too noisy maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so much going on. But yeah, so we were in our own little ballroom, a little bit secluded from all the other events at the Arnold. But yeah, tournaments, I've been to probably like 8 tournaments now. I'd have to count them up. But I do like the TBA tournament pretty much for the last 3 years I've done it.
That's the big one down in Des Moines.
In Des Moines,
right?
Yep. And then I've been to Arizona for a tournament. What else?
And this is the thing, as when you're 20 years from now, when you're an old, broken down fighter. That's the stuff you're going to think about. Like, oh, we traveled to such and such. Now, Des Moines, maybe not the sexiest place. But, you know, why else would I have gone to Arizona?
But we did it. Yeah.
Yeah, you've traveled a lot.
A lot of
the fighting.
And last year I got a lot of good opportunities to travel to cool places for fights. Last year I got to be at a card in New York. So we fought there. And then where else did I go last year? I went to St. Louis.
You make the best of these. You do like a vacay thing along with it, or is it just show up, do the fight, and leave? Hey, Kai, what's up? I'm a big time dog guy, so I'm like,
that's good.
Nothing else. We got dog noise on the podcast.
What else did I do last year? Oh, I went to Canada too.
How exotic! Canada.
It was fun. We were at a casino out there. I won against the hometown girl, so that was nice. That's so much fun. Oh my god!
Yeah, beat you because you're beating the crowd.
Oh yeah, they were. It was all her. Yeah, it was. Everybody was there for her. That was a lot of fun. I like being the villain. I'm okay with being the villain.
Because you're winning the whole deal that time. You're winning the spirit of the room.
I don't feel pressure to do anything special. I'm just like, makes it more fun.
For sure. How long are you going to do this, you think?
I don't know. I tell Gabe forever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Until you know you're done.
I know. I'm already... Yeah, exactly. Until... Yeah, I'll have to tell... To be continued on that. But yeah. I don't know. Like, I see... It's nice. I see women fighting. They're like 40 years old. And... some of these tournaments, you can be like 70 to fight in them.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to fight until I'm 70, but right. I think I'll always want to do it for fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see. I definitely have the desire to like go pro someday. So we're going to see how that goes.
Mean? What does that mean for
people keep asking me that.
Yeah.
And the short of it is you get paid.
Right.
And the people you can fight pretty much, for in my case, gets smaller because sure. There's less women pros.
Smaller but better pool of competition.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe more like international opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something definitely in my future that I'm looking forward to. But we'll just wait and see for the right time.
Yeah. Is there real money in Muay Thai, pro Muay Thai?
No.
Yeah. Not in any of the sports I've ever done is going pro, you know, marketable in terms of income.
It's kind of the same situation as like UFC and MMA. It's right. Like if you get into this one promotion, you'll make good money.
Sure.
There's like a handful of people.
And it's like pretty elite level.
Yeah.
Frankly, when you get
totally.
There,
so sure. Obviously, like, I'm just going to get as good as I can. I'm just going to keep going and see what opportunities come my way. Maybe there'll be more opportunities in the future. Because even the opportunities there's been so many more than even like 2 years ago. Like they're popping up all the time. I'm just going to keep working, keep just being ready. And I think the right opportunities will come around.
You're probably part of a growth trend in the sport for women in particular. It just seems to be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Are you going pro?
I don't know, man. I'm just fighting. If it happens, it happens. Like,
wouldn't you want to have like one pro fight at the minimum?
I think the only reason I'd want to turn pro in Muay Thai is to put on those little 4 ounce gloves. It's like probably the only time you get to do that.
Take off the elbow pads. Yeah. I do want to do that.
Take off the elbow pads and put on little gloves.
So smaller gloves, less padding. That's the goal. Is less padding?
Oh hell yeah!
Oh my god, you guys. You punching people are crazy. You do any jiu-jitsu? You do any other like kind of martial arts styles?
So like pretty much around the same time I started kickboxing, I started jiu-jitsu too. We don't have it at Striking Institute, but I was doing it at the St. Paul Academy with Brandon Bergeron.
Yeah.
I did that for a year. I had a lot of fun with it. I enjoyed it. It was so hard.
Yeah.
It was like... so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something it was good for me to see that like in the beginning, even with kickboxing, because kickboxing is super frustrating too, but you're not getting pummeled like constantly. Jiu-jitsu was really tough, but I definitely enjoyed it. I broke my pinky, which was weird. I forgot about that.
That's like the only injury you've had in combat sports.
It was my right hand pinky.
One of those two.
And... so, obviously, like, I was still kickboxing and stuff, but I, like, missed out on a fight because of that and things like that. So, I was, like, originally I started because I was, like, maybe I'll do MMA.
Right.
And then I was, like, I want to have that background if that's something I want to do. But once I saw the opportunities coming up for kickboxing, I was, like, I'm going to focus on striking.
Sure.
So, But it was a great experience. I'm glad I have the I know what it's about.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah. How do you break your pinky? What happened? Just get caught in a gi kind of thing or what?
Two stripe white belt stuff.
Like you're the two stripe white belt? Okay. Honest appraisal time.
Right? Yeah. I was grappling with a teenage boy of my size. Mm-hmm.
It's a red flag.
It was my fault completely. Like he might have like irked me a little bit.
Sure.
Which that tends to happen to me sometimes.
Yeah. Also happens with teenage boys.
Right.
As a guy who was one, they can be irking.
And we were standing and I decided just to double leg him really hard. So I like wrapped him up and put him down and landed on my pinky with my own knee. Like, I don't know how I like where my hand ended up in between his legs, but I came down and just smashed my pinky with my own knee.
It's not as cool a story as I was hoping.
I did it to myself completely. It was a bad double leg. And instantly I was like, I thought I dislocated it. I asked Brandon to pull on it. And he was like, I'm not going to do that. Good so man. I went to Summit Ortho right away. Yeah. And they're like, it's busted. And I was like, shoot.
Was that your breakup moment with jiu-jitsu?
It wasn't. No, that happened in October that year. And I think I made it till January. So that wasn't the moment, but then we moved here actually in that September. And so we used to live downtown St. Paul, so it was like 10 minutes from us. Mm-hmm. And now it's like 30. So that was another issue.
Plus,
like,
depending on what that bridge is doing.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, all the time.
Over in South St. Paul, and sometimes your commute was 20 minutes and sometimes it was an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all the things just. And then, I mean, when I left, I was like, I'll find a different gym like closer to my house because it just was not working out with my schedule and didn't make any sense. But I really enjoyed my time there. Brandon's a great guy. Yeah, I listened to his podcast. Yeah. He has great knowledge.
Good little spot.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun to watch roll.
Yeah.
It's like. Different.
It's different.
Yeah. You watch him with anybody and you're like, there's something different happening there.
It's interesting.
That's a nightmare.
Do you think it's like his demeanor or like what he's doing?
It's just all of it.
Hmm.
The experience of watching Brandon do jiu-jitsu is good.
Yeah. I still don't know enough to know what's going on.
Neither do I. That's part of what makes it fun. That's because you're just like, I honestly don't even know how he got there and what he's doing. I mean, there's a lot of those guys, but he in particular for me is fun to watch for sure. So no MMA, huh?
No, I don't think so.
We were flirted with the idea early on.
If I'm feeling crazy someday, I'll really work on my takedown defense. We'll see what happens. But like I said, I'm seeing opportunities in kickboxing. They're popping up all the time and I just really want to focus on that.
Right. Yeah, that's good. What don't you like about kickboxing,
like on the day-to-day?
I don't know. What's your least favorite part of this thing you love doing?
I've definitely got to the point where all the hard work is not the worst part. Like I see the point in it. I see the reasons for everything we're doing. And I enjoy the grind of it. I enjoy like leaving the gym after a super hard workout. You're like, I'm on top of the world. Like a month ago, we had a ton of people in the gym getting ready for fights. And our team trainings were like crazy. I was like, they were insane. But after like 3 weeks of that, I was like, I don't want to stop. Like, I want this every, like, your brain just gets used to it, and it gets to the point where you just want more.
It's funny, the thing that probably on a regular basis almost convince you to quit doing it in the beginning is the thing that you thrive on the most years later, huh?
So I guess to answer your question, I don't like getting punched in the face.
Good.
I avoid it. I try to hit you first.
The whole idea is to not get punched in the face, right?
It is, but I also see it as too much of negative feedback because I shouldn't sweat it so much.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to get punched in the face in a fight, it's going to happen. I shouldn't, like, in sparring and stuff, I need to work on not making such, like, I'm so hard on myself. I'm like, oh, why did I just get punched? You just get punched sometimes.
It's the sport of getting
and
punched.
And maybe you did have your hand down. Work on that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm training with such good people. Like, I need to make it less of a negative feedback, more constructive. And, like, maybe my range was off. Maybe, it, like I said, don't have my hands up. Maybe I could have had better offense, like, things like that. So that's what I hate the most. But I need to, like, reformat it in my brain. Right. Like, it's right. going to happen.
Probably I'll just, if there's a coach listening to this, they're like, yeah, that's normal. It's called getting good at fighting. It's part of the process.
There's so many things I've been frustrated about that everyone's like, that's normal. You just have to, like I said, reframe it.
Yeah, get good at it out. Not getting punched in the face, but also get good at being punched in the face.
Oh my gosh, that's a good point.
That seems like... Like the boxing mantra.
I think that's the one I would choose. Yeah.
What do you like? What do you dislike? I rather.
I don't know, man. I like it all. I don't have any complaints.
That's not true.
Okay, I dislike having to do 200 sit-ups a day. That's a terrible thing. I hate ab cramps. It's probably the worst feeling in the entire world for a man. I don't know.
that's the high end for dudes. All right.
Hashtag International Women's Day on Friday. Right.
I looked it up. There's an International Men's Day. Is there? November 19th, I think.
You should write that down.
I did it as a joke. I responded to somebody as a joke. I think, again, everybody that might be listening to this is probably nodding their head like, yeah, screw 200-300 sit-ups at a time. I don't want to do that.
That's too many.
Especially when you're, like, dehydrated. It's, ugh. Yeah, I'm just like thinking about it now.
Yeah, you're strong, but like you cramp a lot when you're doing abs. Mm-hmm. That never happens to me.
I would honestly rather get kicked in the midsection than do 200 sit-ups a day.
That's an ab workout too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just kick me. That's more sports specific, right?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's push-ups. I mean, with the shoulder issues I had, push-ups are like the bane of my existence. I'm still trying to get better at push-ups. Because just having the wrong form has messed me up so bad.
Well, and then it turns into that head game, too, where you're like, okay, is this the rep where things go wrong again? You know? Yeah.
I'm like, how am I going to feel tomorrow after doing all these push-ups?
But, have you guys been on Ignite cards here locally, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
You like that experience? Like, it seems like such a great show as a spectator, and I've done some photos for him a couple mm-hmm. times, but I've obviously never been on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Killer or what?
It's amazing to have a card here, like a kickboxing card here. Like, having one in town is so much, it's so much fun, first of all, and it's really growing the fighters around here. For a while, they were doing Ignite cards in Austin, where it was like a lot of debut people like coming out like, okay, you did your smokers. Now try being on a card. It gives them that opportunity. So, I've been on two Ignite cards. I aspire to be on more.
Yeah.
We're having a hard time getting girls to come to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. My wife boxed here. Like 20 years ago, and it was the same damn thing. Like, I'm sure it's 100% better, but it's still like still not quite there, you know?
Right.
Just culture and everything.
Totally.
I think the ear rubbing is the secret, but now I'm not doing it rigorous enough. I'm not sure.
She just wants a little bit more.
A little Dave. A little
bit more. Yeah, but you've been on. Have you been on like three cards?
Three or four. I think I was, three or four. I don't remember exactly how many. They're just all the same.
Great experiences. It's good. Great to have a platform here. Yeah.
Yeah. I like show fights. I've like, because in tournaments, right, you're wearing like a lot of padding, and I'm just like, I'm okay. My whole thing is like, my whole style is like pressure fighting and damage. Like, and I can't do that as much with padding on my shins and headgear on. And Ignite, you know, I've fought like pretty much A class since like my third fight. I've like taken on shows. So it's like getting the experience, because it's so different of like placement of kicks and shots, because you take the shin guards off, and if you place it on an elbow, that shit hurts. like you realize like everything you throw is going to hurt you a little bit, but it's going to hurt them more, like if you get it right. So it's about like levels to the sport of getting better at that. So you're in, like, I remember the first time I took shins off, my feet were just busted up. And I just was like in the gym for that next fight is like training placement and understanding like where things should be and how they should be thrown. And yeah, I think I've gotten a lot better because of that.
Nice. It's kind of, it seems like it's the honesty test a little bit, like bare knuckle boxing is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of just distinctly different, but it's also like, okay, in the real version of this activity we're pretending to do with all the padding, there's some different rules.
Yeah, it's just, you know, how confident are you, right? Because you could throw that stuff with padding on because you're confident that it's not going to hurt as much. Yeah. But when things start getting a little dicey, are you going to keep throwing the same things? Or are you going to do it the same way? Yeah.
Because you don't always feel it in the fight. Because the fight I had in Canada, I was just kicking her so much, but I was kicking her elbow a lot. And it was right in the crease of my foot and my shin. And I could hardly walk the next day. I was like, you don't feel in the fight. You're like, I'm scoring. This is great. And then afterwards, my leg was just destroyed. I was like, if I want to keep fighting like consistently, like I need to be smarter when it comes to that. So this last fight, I didn't kick with my foot once. I don't think it. My feet were fine. My shins really hurt, but my feet are good.
Correct though.
But that's correct. Mm-hmm. Like Kate was like, look at where they are. Like that's perfect. Like
It's also a little bit like, I mean, you played football. It's the way we tackled in football. If you were in rugby gear, would you tackle that way?
Exactly.
You absolutely would not. No. You know.
Nope.
We're all taking more damage because we're so protected in a way.
Yeah, or like how you take shots too. It's like the reverse too, right? Like you could, if somebody's padded up a little bit, you can absorb shots like on your arm, like with the single arm, pretty okay. But as soon as that shin bone starts sinking in, you want to double block, like a Dutch block on them if you're going to take something like to the body. Like you don't want that. It's painful.
Just describe a Dutch block for me.
Oh, you just like tuck in your arm like in. And then you just like rotate your body so you catch it on both arms instead of just on one, because it'll break your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
never happened to me, but I've done it to somebody, which is sweet.
Gabe broke an arm. He did that. Congrats.
Sweet. Yeah.
Weird sort of surprise.
Weird flex, but okay. Yeah.
But it's like stuff like that. Like you don't want to have incorrect technique, because at a higher level, people are just like smash you. Yeah.
Fighting is exploiting weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if your weakness is it's going to go bad.
Yeah. So that kind of comes down to like, it's the same concept in jiu-jitsu where like if somebody gets something on you, even though you're training and you care about your training partners, like you need to acknowledge that they got you. Like if people are just kicking you in sparring and you're blocking with your arms, and you're not acknowledging it, you're like, oh, it doesn't hurt, we're just training.
Right.
In a fight, it matters. So it comes down to your training and just acknowledging those things. Like I said, maybe I acknowledge them a little too much to a fault, but
sure.
And just a little too hard on myself sometimes, but you still need to be very cognizant of what's going to matter in a fight when you're training.
Yeah, we have a good gym for that too. Everybody there's pretty, you know, we have like a good mix, but at the top people are great. Mm-hmm. Like they're so good, and you have to kind of acknowledge that, like when you're training with them.
Seems to be a thing in any kind of combat sport, like it's clear where I stand, where you stand. You know, it's like in powerlifting gyms even. I mean, that guy squats 800, that guy squats 5. You know, they're not going to like fight each other or whatever, but like there's a clear delineation of who's capable of what, and you got to be sensible about who's got what on the bar or whatever. Come here, dog.
Yeah, the weightlifting was the only thing I got to see at the Arnold.
The Olympic weightlifting or the powerlifting?
I don't know.
It was the Olympic lifting.
It was the Olympic lifting.
They were like cleaning and snatching. Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of snatching. Yeah.
It's just like fight sports. You're like, so you kickbox, huh? And you're like, well, I do Muay Thai. And you're like, okay. Like, right. There's a whole vocab I need to learn. Totally. You know what I mean? That's a super fun sport to see, though. I mean, it's not an entertaining thing for 3 hours for most people, but like you watch what they do and you hear the numbers and you're just like, holy crap.
Yeah. It was the moment where they'd get it or the moment where they didn't get it, where it's like so exciting. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, like you really wanted them to get
it. For sure. It's basically it's the touchdown or the not touchdown over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And people are so excited or so upset for like a moment.
Yeah. The whole crowd, they don't even know what weight is on the bar, if it's impressive or whatever, but like, you're just like, yes, they did a thing. Favorite part. We did dislikes. We did your least favorite parts. What's your favorite specific piece of the training for Muay Thai journey so far?
Piece of the training. I've been surprised how much I've enjoyed clinching for Muay Thai. So it's just standing grappling. I've done really well at it. Our gym is great for learning it. And that's what I really enjoy, punching and kicking people. But that has been really fun for me. Learning just the technique of how to like break someone down when they don't want to be broken down. That's a lot of fun for me.
Well, the punch and the kick, that's like the sexy part, the flashy part.
Exactly.
But the core of the sport, and the gangster part of the sport is the clinch, it seems like.
Yeah. And that's how I've had the most success in ending fights, has been kneeing people.
Like from the clinch.
From the clinch, yeah. I've only knocked one person out, but I've ended a handful of fights just kneeing to the midsection. So,
which is actually way cooler.
It's fun. We'll say it's way cooler.
Like it seems like it, you know.
At some point they have to choose. They're like, I can't do this anymore. But knocking someone out, they don't have a choice.
Yeah, I want to let you beat you.
Yeah.
I want you to decide you don't have what it takes anymore.
Oh my gosh. Kind of the joke with us. What was it? Oh, it was one thing Ryan Murray said before one of my tournaments, right before we were about to walk out for a fight. He goes, time to ruin some girls' dreams.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my
gosh.
It's
dark, but like also.
It was perfect for the situation.
And that's what they're thinking across the ring there, right?
Right. That just keeps it light. That like kept it light for me. I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, let's do that.
The darkest thought kept it light.
Favorite part
For me,
breaking arms.
Just I like competing. It's just the fight itself is just, it's like the hardest thing I think I've ever done. So it's just, I just keep doing it. It's
kind of seeing all the hard stuff come together and culminate, win or lose.
It's just testing yourself. Like it doesn't, like especially as an amateur. Like if you win or lose, like you said, who gives a shit? Like It's an experience, like you're both having an experience in there and you're just like, it does all come together or it doesn't, right? Yeah. And then now you walk out, but something's going to happen.
Right.
Like it is what it is.
And you'll be better.
Yeah.
You'll know more than you did, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. There's nothing like it, honestly. I've never jumped out of a plane or anything like that either yet. So we're going to figure out whether I like that stuff.
You threw in there.
I'm not a risk taker, honestly. I won't ride a scooter down the street. I'm not kidding.
That's very true.
I won't do it.
That's incredibly dangerous. Stick to stick to getting punched.
I feel like I have way less control riding a scooter than I do in a fight. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Like this weekend when we were in Columbus for the Arnold, we were running like a couple minutes late to get her in there to get her gear for the championship fight. And we were like down the street and we passed a couple scooters. And I was like, let's jump on these scooters to get you there fast. And she said, I would rather miss the fight than get on the scooter.
I don't think I said that. I think I said that and I was like, just kidding. I definitely want to be this fight. But I was like we're walking fast. I'm like, this is my warm-up, I'm fine. And then I ended up having plenty of time, but there's always that like, but what if we don't
latent
and
then, anxiety issues,
yeah, because Kate was there and she was like, hey, where are you guys? And I never know with her if that means, where are you right now? Or like, are you coming? Are you like almost here? Like
probably a mix of both.
So I was like, I can't tell how urgent this is. Let's walk really fast. And he's like, what about the scooters? And I was like, I will hurt myself on the scooter.
Or someone will.
Or
is the thing. Stats on car accidents. We don't need to go into that.
Oh, no kidding.
Let's say I want to do Muay Thai. I don't. But let's say I do.
We haven't convinced you yet.
That's no. But what's your advice? You're talking to a friend, let's say, and they're like, you know, I might actually want to try that.
Yeah.
What would be your advice with your 4 years of wisdom thus far?
I think my first bit of advice, if they see what I'm doing and they want to try Muay Thai, that's one thing. I would probably say don't go in expecting to like spar and like do all that stuff. And some people will be like, oh, thank goodness. Like, thank goodness I don't have to start doing that. Some people are like, I want to do it now. Like, even when I started, like I said, I wanted to compete, but I did not want to walk in and start sparring. I was like, I'm going to start at the ground level and work my way up until they like trust me to be in sparring. Like, so I started there. It's like, you don't know what you want until you get there. And if you just want to work out, like, absolutely. Like, even just learning a technique while you're working out is so much fun. Like, I've been to so many places where it's just a workout, but learning a technique and learning the reason why you're doing it is, like, just a great way to spend your time. Like, it's fulfilling. It keeps your brain busy. You're getting in shape. Like, and I would say, like, if you want a gym that's going to teach you, like, the basics, but also give you those tidbits of, like, this is why we do this, because in a fight, like, all of our instructors will be like, I've done this in a fight, and it's going to work because of this, or it's not going to work because of this. If you're doing a technique a certain way and they're like, you don't really want to do that because you're going to get punched in the face if you do that. I mean, our gym is perfect for that, a striking institute. It's like you come in, you learn the basics, you get to move pretty much at your own pace. And once you get to a point where people know you, and they're like, maybe they'll invite you to the sparring class and things like that. But yeah, just go in with like an open mind and just see what parts you like of it. Maybe it's not your thing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, honestly. But it's, if it really is your thing, it's going to be like amazing that you did it. Like, you're going to be so happy you did it.
And you won't know until you try.
And you won't know until you try. And you won't
really know until you get punched in the face.
That was my disclaimer when I started too. I was like, I think I want to do this. I think I want to, like, I'm going to try. Never been punched in the face before, so we're gonna go with it and see if that's like a horrible experience or not.
It's honestly a sensible perspective. I'm pretty sure I'm into that.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, just like have zero expectations. Like, don't set any standards for yourself and have an open mind about everything like you're walking into. Like, it depends, right? There are two different types of people that want to do it. There's the people that just want to work out because it's a hard thing to do. And then there are people that want to compete, but you all start at the same place. Doesn't matter. So just having no like internal expectations and then having the ego that like radiates out of you too, because you're like, you have these like internal like thoughts, right, that are building, and you're like expecting yourself to be able to spar or like compete at some time, but like just take things as it comes. Like, you'll find like you learn a lot faster that way than like putting a lot of pressure on yourself, or like, and then in turn that kind of like puts pressure on others and they can feel that too. Yeah. It's weird. I'm sure in jiu-jitsu it's the same way. You can like feel when people are like way too frustrated for what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're going into a thing with zero knowledge. Mm-hmm. So you're dependent on your coaches to have the knowledge, but it's also, all this stuff is an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they only have a guess. So mm-hmm. It's like you got to let this whole thing come to fruition for a year or 2 years before we know exactly how it's going to go.
Well, and then like on the flip side, it's like, I don't care if you're 25, 30, 18, like you can do it. Like I said, like I started at 25. I had no idea how far I'd be able to get or what I'd be able to do, or if I'd ever have cool enough experiences for anybody to want to like listen to me on a podcast, like that. Like, I have done like so much. I've traveled so much in the last like 4 years. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I did not know where I would be. Like, when I started and once I was into the training, I was like, I want to fight. I set a goal for myself. I was like, I want to be pro by the time I'm 30. And I was like, is that crazy? I don't know. Yeah. I'll be training for 4 years at the time. And it's like totally doable. Like, I turned 30 this November. Mm-hmm. So
I'd say you're on track. Yeah.
It's just like crazy that it's working out, honestly. So you can do it. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Like, if you want to do it, just keep showing up and just keeping your goals in mind and enjoying it. If you're not enjoying it, leave. Like, honestly, like, figure it out or leave.
Best life advice right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, cool, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Pohada Podcast. And hey, if you're a regular listener, head on over to the Pohada Podcast on Instagram, where amongst the ridiculous memes, you'll find a link to the merch shop and be able to keep up with the disorganized going-ons of the show. And hey, before you go, here's a little preview of an upcoming episode.
But I learned how to understand how to navigate, touch hands, be on the hands, and not give the person the opportunity to do something. So through those drills, through Chisao, through Hubud from Filipino martial arts, through the Sombrada Filipino training methods with the stick, you're learning how to track hands and monitor hands and be aware of everything that's going on around you. Meanwhile, you're still trying to hit the person in front of you. They're trying to hit you. And it's like everything kind of wires into this, in my brain anyways, it always wired back into how is this going to work in a fight. Well, we're going to find out in about 4.5 hours when I go to work.